Yeah, I'm like Neo now.
Oh, that was good. That was good.
That's Morpheus.
What's going on, everyone? Jurassic Views, Ottawa's Raptors podcast, Zia Quina, Bryce Diamond. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year once again. Here we are recording our first dynamic duo recording of the new year.
2023.
Matches Freddie's number, 23. Won't be matching his contract. He's gonna get paid, man, and he's gonna get more money than $23 million a year.
More than Brunson.
Definitely. Anthony Simons is getting $25 million a year, so he's definitely getting more than 25. Lots to talk about as always. But my friend, I just wanna remind you. I just wanna remind you a few things, okay?
Please.
Number one, Pascal Siakam is special. Okay, he's a special player. If nobody has told him today, he's special. Okay. Number two, Fred VanVleet. Okay. He's had back injuries. He's had bouts of sickness. He's had his struggles from behind the arc. He's a special guy, man. I just heard him. You just listened to him. Old Man in the Three. If you haven't listened to that, you need to listen to that. To me, that's required. Required listening. But I also want to let you know, Zia Quina, in 2023, you're special, my friend.
Thank you, man.
You're special.
I need the affirmation.
And this is a special podcast. We appreciate your support, those who are listening. Courtney, can't wait to have the big three of JV on. You're special, too. But my friend, let's get to this. Let's get to the fact
that I'm only going to interrupt you to say that.
Okay.
Yeah, you're a unique individual that adds value to this world. All right.
And
if you're wondering why we're getting all affirming, is because we want to speak life into the current kind of situation we are as fans. And I hope these, you know, players on this Toronto Raptors have a recorded device that can affirm them every single morning. Either their partners, spouses, family members, because it's been quite brutal the last stretch. And as fans, we're feeling it. Thanks for holding it down with the recordings, B. Your positivity rubs off, and, you know, it's a light behind at the end of a winding tunnel.
I mean, I was into astrology at one point in some of the podcasts that have gone past. I've gone into seances to get Pascal to the All-Star game.
Oh,
there have been some strange moments.
Right now we have an eight ball. I'm holding an eight ball that I'm going to be using at a certain point in this podcast. Will the Toronto Raptors make the playoffs? Well, I'm going to share the answer later.
Listen, if it's going to be January 9th, 2023, okay? If it's going to be cold outside, if there's one thing, we have to break the cold with affirmations of warmth, right? We got to warm our hearts. We can't be cold-hearted even if our shooting as a franchise is cold.
If you got to drop some Brené Brown in this piece, let's do it, you know what I mean? Because at this point, we are feeling the pain, and, you know, let's just lean into that and see what we can tease out, because we've seen rock bottom. This is not rock bottom, right?
This is definitely not rock bottom. Do we need reminders of
rock
bottom?
Exactly. We've recorded at length moments of rock bottom for this franchise. This is also not...
Is JD Salinger? Is he on our team?
Oh, my God. This is not Tampa Bay. All right. This is not Tampa Bay. We're in January. We currently stand, what, 10th? 10th in the East? 12th in the East. 12th in the East. Just below Washington, right? So a couple of games.
Is Chris Dudley on our roster?
Is Michael Bradley on our roster? Is Kevin O'Neill's Pepsi?
Wow.
Diet Pepsi still on.
We are not anywhere near. We are not. You know, those kind of dark.
We need perspective. Days. And so are we sounding the alarm? No. But no.
And we're not pounding the rock.
Yet. No, we're not pounding the rock. But I don't know if this kind of leads us into, you know, the discussions that are brewing amongst Raptor journalistic core, right? Do we blow up the team? Are we tanking? Is there a Masai Bobby presser in waiting, you know, to be scheduled where there's some trades that will be announced? Thoughts, anything that you've heard from the rumor mill by the Michael Granges of the world?
For me, I'm not so interested right now. I mean, obviously, I want to see us fill some positions. We need a bona fide 7-foot center. We know that.
Okay.
I've talked about Poeltl a number of times as a guy who would bring good vibes, but like solid defensive guy. We need a shooter. We need a Contavious Caldwell Pope. I mean, both for the name Contavious. You talk about courageous and bold. A mother calling their son Contavious. That is courageous and bold. But we need a KCP to knock some shots down who's a vet. And we need a point guard, much like Monte Morris, who currently plays for the Washington Wizards, used to play for the Denver Nuggets. Very solid backup
he
point guard.
Start for you.
Malachi watched some of his film. But those are the guys we need. But in terms of the fan base, what I'm more interested in talking about is how hard it is, how flipping hard it is to win this league, to get to a conference final, to get to a championship, to win a championship. And I think we could, you know, pull this string, pull that string, get this guy, get that guy. But at the end of the day, to win a championship is a much more difficult assignment. And I don't think, I could be wrong, but at the start of the season, I don't think you were of the feeling, of the thought that we were going to the NBA Finals.
No, I think our aim was second round, maybe mm-hmm. to the second round, yeah. Right? Build on what was done in last year, right? We had, we were fifth, I believe.
Fifth in the right? East.
In the East. At best, see if you can squeeze in home court advantage, give or take. You could, you know, build on what was done in the previous year. Now, what was exposed to us this year was a few things. I think Nick Nurse's playbook has been figured out thus far.
I think the league.
Yeah, it lacked originality.
Is using Nick Nurse's playbook.
So this year his playbook lacks originality, and so it's not just Nick Nurse; it's the coaching staff. Our players' strengths have hit a ceiling in terms of the chemistry, in terms of how that translates into win. That doesn't suggest that Fran VanVleet it can't grow and become a better player. That's not the case for Pascal Siakam. My man actually made a jump. Same goes for Gary Trent Jr. OG has had his moments, though inconsistent, still has moments where we can equate to say that he's actually grown on both ends of the floor. But now, how does that work as a team? Does that translate into wins? Not exactly. And something that we haven't faced the music is the league has gotten better. So whatever you did last year, even if you improve it, slightly improved from last year, it's not enough. Teams like the Bostons, the Milwaukees, the Cleveland Cavaliers, however you felt of Cleveland last year, they're incredibly better this year. We just haven't been consistent enough to compete with that crop of teams. And now there's a significant amount of research that goes into, statistically at least, that the league has gotten better. We're not part of it, right? you know me, I'm not into tanking. It's not good for, you know, the you know, organizational culture.
It's not good for player development. Development. At the end of the day, it's really not.
One guy that we haven't mentioned, you know, in terms of, has he been inconsistent in his sophomore year? Absolutely. And that's Scotty Barnes. And I think there's more than just basketball that needs that needs to be addressed here. I think it's just in terms of maturity and growth, and that's for any player.
The honeymoon's over.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right, Scotty, we still love you, but the honeymoon is over. You've come back from, you know, Cinque Terre or Tuscany,
Guadalajara,
wherever you've gone. You've come back, and now you have to do those things around the house that you don't necessarily want to do: laundry, dishes. You got to get under the oven and do some of that vacuuming of all the gross stuff that's collected there from food from the cutting board that's just slipped into that gap. And you, I know you don't want to do it. It's not sexy. It ain't an aphrodisiac. I understand that, Scotty Barnes. But this is the work you got to do when the honeymoon's over.
are we talking from personal experience, and is this, Is that reference directed to anyone who should be listening to this podcast or not? But nevertheless, we're not going to go in that direction. That's exactly it, right? There's responsibilities. You're not the youngin' anymore who can jump up and cheer for your teammates. You have responsibilities, and there's expectations, and you're a part of the core of the team. And that even implies in terms of intangibles. So your body language, your attitude, are you bringing it every day consistently? That's the leap that some stars to superstars don't make. And that's fine. But, we're not the only team that's going through this, right? Who's hit a particular type of ceiling, the Miami Heat have. Mm-hmm. Who talks about blowing that team up, you know?
And I mean, they're way older than us, especially at their top end.
Exactly. So it's not, I think there's two parts, you know, to kind of explain, to tease out what's going on thus far in the season. Is on a meta level, the NBA has gotten significantly better. It's a lot more complex based on both defenses and offenses. We're not the only team that's falling behind in that sense, but I think there are intrinsic issues, flaws on the roster, as well as disjointment, mm-hmm. right? When you lose repetitively, you get, you know, you kind of bump heads with some of your teammates, and that's completely normal, just for the record. So we're not going to get into the drama of it, but I am looking for a Bobby and Masai presser to explain the direction of the team, one, and two, what additions are we going to have? Is Otto Porter just going to be sent out to a team where he can be a better serviceable veteran? Are we going to finally bring Pirtle back? Like, we need. Well, I'm getting frustrated.
So you're going to dump Otto Porter? Hasn't really even played for our team.
Yeah, I think
he's already gone.
I've heard enough that he has not made the progress, one, in terms of his health. Secondly,
is he on a paternity leave?
I think he's also disgruntled.
Can you do that in the NBA?
I think he's also disgruntled based on not just his role, but also what he expected.
He was thinking the team was going to be six, seven games above where it is.
Exactly. And so is this the best use of his time at this period of his career?
What is he, 36 years old? The guy's 29. Otto, slow down, brother.
So, and I think the same thing goes with Thad Young, though I don't, you know, we haven't heard anything brewing, and he's a incredibly professional, you know, upstanding guy. But just because I know this is part of the rumor mill, who do you get rid of if you need to, you know, hypothetically bring on a Jakob Poeltl? I'm going to tell you who are untouchable. Pascal Siakam's untouchable to me. Fred VanVleet is untouchable to me. Scotty Barnes is untouchable to me. Delano Banton is untouchable.
Wow, Delano Banton. The guy hasn't even played the last four games.
I gotta
Rexdale bias.
I gotta show some love to my Rexdale.
Shoot.
Mount Olive brother.
Now, I'm going to say this. Okay, I'm going to say this. I've started to say it a few times on the pod, but I haven't done a post game in the last week. It's taken some time off, 9 days off.
Good for your mental health.
Might have been good for my marriage too. But regardless, I took some time off and I was thinking more about this, felt very strongly about this, that all of our starting five, Gary, Scotty, OG, Pascal, Fred, all of them are untouchable.
All of them are untouchable. Even Gary Trent.
Even Gary Trent. Because when I think of what it takes to get to the conference finals, what it takes to win a championship, all those guys are in the right place and time within their skill set, within the rankings of top players in the NBA.
Development curve.
And their age. This is not an old group at all, mm-hmm. right? None of them are going to be 30 years old next year. Fred and Pascal, the oldest two, are going to be 29. Fred in February, am I going to send him a card? Maybe Pascal in April. Why do I know their birthdays? I just do. Pascal, Fred, I'm happy to take you out for a drink if you want to, if you're in the Ottawa area for some reason. But regardless,
in between games,
regardless, for me, all of those guys can and I believe will get better than they are now. And if you're going to be a championship team, you're going to need all those skills that those guys bring, of course, with complementary pieces like a center, a veteran shooter, and a veteran point guard.
Gary Trent, his value is quite high, and I'm really proud of his development, especially his ability to take on the reins on the offensive end, especially in the half court. I for the long term, I don't see him re-signing with us.
So it's going to be his choice not to.
I think he'll get paid elsewhere.
Sure.
Right? Just as much. And I think he'll seek out more offensive responsibility. I think that is warranted, right? Right now in the roster,
he doesn't care about winning.
He cares about winning, but I think there's other competing interests, maximizing his salary potential, as well as his performance. He's also tied to opportunity. Right now, he's what, fourth or fifth option offensively? Right?
I mean, he could be a second or
moved
third
up,
option.
He's moved up to third to second only out of need, right? But at the beginning of the season, right, we knew who the hierarchy was. It was Pascal. It was Fred. It was OG or / Scotty. And often I saw, you know, if you looked at, you know, a lot of, and you saw the tape, the film showed that, you know, Gary was out in that corner waiting for that pass to be swung. You know, desperate times calls for desperate measures. My man has moved up. He's delivered. But I also know.
Where is he going to go?
There's a lot of teams that are looking for that, you know, fourth score. Wow. To make that little jump, right? And
they're going to pay $25 million for Gary Trent.
You know, a team that we've just mentioned, Miami Heat.
They're paying him $30 million. They're going to give Gary 25, another shooting guard. They already have Duncan Robinson.
Yeah, what they can do is they can put Tyler Hero, Jimmy Butler. I don't know what they're going to do with Kyle Lowry. But I don't know if Kyle Lowry is going to continue playing for the Miami Heat.
That's true. He has one more year left on his contract. And so we're going to take him back. We're definitely not taking him back.
Well, what they can do with Tyler Hero is Jimmy can play the point. Tyler can also play that kind of combo guard. And you have Gary on the wing. Gary's, you know, solid two-way player. Right.
So where are they going to find the money, man?
That was just an example that I threw out there.
I'm going to keep firing him down, man. Gary's not leaving.
The
Trent truck is filled in our house.
And you're going to have to choose someone in the next few years. You know, you need to re-sign OG.
Definitely.
Right? And you're Fred, mm-hmm. you're re-signing Fred next summer.
Yeah.
Right? And
this is the conundrum face.
Yeah, and Scotty, and you're going to have to give Scotty the, this, you know, that his first max, you know, contract.
So I
2024, 2025.
I took a bit of a deep dive, just not too deep, but a bit of a deep dive.
Of course it did. Well, what into was this, December 27th?
No, this was yesterday, actually. Okay. At the breakfast table, if you can believe it. Did I listen to anyone in my family talk about what they were doing that day? I didn't. I was an hour deep into looking at how teams win a championship, what they need, what the ingredients are, what the recipe is. And teams who have won championships have had usually two things. Could be one of two things, but usually two things. Okay. Number one, they're in the top eight in spending in the NBA. Okay. Right now, we're 19th. Number two, they have either a top five guy, as in LeBron James, Steph Curry, or they have two top 10 guys, right? Yeah. KG and Paul Pierce in 2008, Tim Duncan and Tony Parker in 2014. Now, here's the thing. There's only one team that really doesn't fit into that, and that's the Detroit Pistons of 04. Everyone talks about that. They even say we, as the Raptors, were like that in 2019. First of all, Kawhi Leonard was in that season.
Yeah.
Was the best player in the world, okay? KD was injured. LeBron James did not make the playoffs. He put it on chill mode because he knew he wasn't making the – and so we had Kawhi Leonard. We also were fourth in the league in spending when we won the championship. The teams that haven't been in the top eight who in the last 15 years, San Antonio Spurs – who had Kawhi Leonard still in his rookie contract, right? They were definitely not 19th the next year, but we're 19th when they won.
Took a pay cut.
Everyone you got guys taking pay cuts.
Yeah.
Well, we don't have Popovich from Westport, being able to influence guys with, military type tactics. We have Nick Nurse, just an Iowa farm boy, Then there was the LA Lakers. I believe they're 11th in the league in spending. They also had a guy by the name of LeBron James and Anthony Davis, whose extension was coming into play the following season.
Bubble championship.
Yeah, exactly. And then you had the Golden State Warriors in 2015. They're the 14th spending team. Well, they had a guy by the name of Steph Curry.
And Steph Curry was underpaid. And we all know that. And the salary cap had inflated. And so that's how they were under that.
And we know what their story was in 2016 and to the present, where they have set records in the luxury tax. So they have got paid. So you have to be honest. How are you going to get there? Is Pascal Siakam going to be a top five guy? It's possible. It's a tough road to get to. It's possible. But at the end of the day, for me, you have a group of guys that could all be our whole starting lineup. Could be top 50 players in the league.
Okay.
All of them. Okay. Even Gary Trent Jr. could be a top 50 guy in the next 2 years. Okay. So for me, if they're going to be that good and Pascal's going to be in the conversation of top six, top seven, top eight guys in the league.
Like early in the season?
Yeah. Like I still have him 12 in the NBA. You've got to pay every single one of them.
All right. So who's that second guy flirting with that top 10?
On the Raptors?
Yeah. You know it's not Fred. OG.
I think Scottie's a few years away.
Okay.
How
many years? Because time, I don't want to rush his progress, his learning curve.
I think we're three seasons away. The 2025-2026 season is when Scottie will be a top 10 guy. That's projections. It's not a prediction. That's just a guess based on what we know.
Okay.
Right. But you have a guy in Fred VanVleet, much like Chauncey Billups, who's in that kind of all-star conversation, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you have OG Anunoby, much like a Ben Wallace, who's in that defensive player of the year, right?
Mm-hmm.
The issue with this team is not those top five for me. The issue with this team is who is the next group? Right? Because when you look at that Warriors team, take Steph out of it for a second. None of the other guys are in the top 10.
Sean Livingston.
Look at all this bench.
Was Andre Iguodala coming off the bench?
Mm-hmm. No.
No? Was he was starting at that
point? I believe so. Harrison Barnes came off
the bench. Oh, my gosh.
Because Bogut. They started Bogut.
Oh, my gosh. They had Harrison Barnes coming off. A young Harrison Barnes at that.
He had Barbajosa coming off. Leandro Barbajosa. Fantastic.
Barbosa is the Spanish player that used to play
for Toronto. Yeah, Barbosa. It's
Barbosa. Yeah, Leandro Barbosa. Yeah. Leandro Barbosa. To me, when you say Sean Livingston, it ends there.
Right.
I think he didn't win
of the Year. No, but he was in the conversation.
He was always in the conversation. He added so much value to that backcourt and allowed Steph Curry and Thompson. Clay Thompson to significantly play off ball. And just a reminder, Draymond Green is that point center even at many iterations. So it really allowed Steph and Clay to run around and create so much space. My gosh. And so, yeah, their bench was incredible. The runs that they would be making in that third quarters are historic. You're right. Our bench is
pretty bad.
It's a terrible sight to see, man.
Yeah.
In terms of basketball, I know these guys are quality individuals. They care about the game.
And they would destroy anyone.
And they're skilled.
Yeah.
But within our system, there's such a gap. Note that Precious Achiuwa was also injured for a significant period. Not to say that he'd be steering the ship so much as he's such a significant complement to what someone would like Chris Boucher would be doing, helping Malachi, you know, in the pick and roll, being a great defensive versatile player when Pascal or Scottie or OG. Gets a breather. It's been tough, man.
It's been really tough.
I mean, but you got to give someone, you got to give to get, right? So that's why I think, I'm a fan of Gary. I'm a fan of his father, but he's an asset right now. His value is quite high. If you want to bring in Pirtle or, a disgruntled backup point guard who wants to join a team in the 12th slot, well, you're going to have to give up something. Who's that backup point guard? Where's he floating?
Right? Yeah, I think it's a summer question for Masai. Okay,
so it's not in season.
I don't know. Because here's the thing.
If
Masai and Bobby, their whole thing is to win a championship, Nick Nurse, Fred VanVleet, Pascal, all of them, they want that taste again. They had it once. They want to taste that championship again. What it's going to require is patience, right? Kyle Lowry, 2014. They weren't winning a championship in 2015. They did get to the conference finals in 2016, partly because the bracket, worked out for them. But they didn't get back to that conference finals until the 2019 when they won a chip. I think you have to be patient with this team. And I think that's going to mean that for Pascal and Fred, it's not going to be this season. It's not going to be next season. It's probably going to be more like 25 or 26. So that if you're thinking that long, then the summer is a better spot because now you don't have to give up your draft picks, which is something that Masai and the Raps love to have. And you can spend more, right, on a free agent. Pirtle's going to be a free agent this summer. I don't know who the backup point guards are out there, but, I think you can spend a little more and not give up your draft picks. And the guys who they have on the bench, they're not going to give you much, right? Really, teams that are starting to dip now, teams are going to be willing to give up guys. They want draft picks. I don't think that's Bobby and Masai's first choice. So, you look at the Tampa year, we really didn't get much. You look at last season, we got Thad Young. We were really just dumping Dragic. Like, Thad was nice, but he's not moving the needle too much.
We also added Otto Porter over the summer.
Otto Porter was a good summer move.
He's injured.
He is injured. But he would have been a real help to us this year. We still have a huge issue in our backcourt in the second unit.
I have Tim Bontemps' long read on ESPN right now. He's featuring the Toronto Raptors, talking about our struggle. Everything on paper suggests that we should, based on what we did last year, we should be somewhere in the Middle Eastern Conference.
Probably in the 5-6 seed.
Exactly. And he also assesses the market. I think he quotes Bobby Marks, another ESPN commentator, journalist, former GM, I believe, at Brooklyn Nets, mentioned, well, what's out there in the market right now before the trade deadline? Whoever is available, we wouldn't want anyway.
Right.
Because the Toronto Raptors, who we have on our roster, at least in that top five, let's say top six at Precious Achiuwa, is better than whoever is available in the market.
Right.
So teams are going to be calling us to inquire.
Absolutely.
Hey, is OG available? Because they desperately need that 3-and-D. Is Gary Trent available? Right, they probably you'll probably have some sniffers around trying to figure out if there's significant drama to see if there's Scott dangling Scotty, right?
Correct.
So that's an interesting take. So do you just go through the grind throughout to end the season to see if you can sneak into the play-in, right, and then reassess during the summer? Add the bench through the draft. You mix around a few of your assets, future first round draft picks, seeing what other players are available. And also, I mean, we haven't been talking about this enough, but the coaching staff going through some sort of retreat, Bryce. Like, come on, like adding some significant and much needed innovation and creativity.
Especially
to
on
the offensive end, right? It is predictable and it is stale. And it's not a offense with any type of punch that should be reflective of the type of players that we have on our roster who are athletic, agile. I know the three ball is not coming down, so it's not that it's not a matter of skill. I just think it's a matter of, we've gone through a dry spell, unfortunately, at the wrong time.
So
a significant amount of us have, right? Us meaning, the players. But
You're Earl Watson.
Yes.
And you know that the team's struggling.
Yeah.
You know that you need to have some like extended conversations to help, reinvent this offense. The All-Star break is coming up.
Mm-hmm.
Where are you asking Nick Nurse to take the coaching staff? Where's that retreat happening that you were mentioning just a few minutes
ago? All-Star game is going to be in Utah.
So you're not retreating to Utah?
Hell no. you're going to Boulder, Colorado.
Oh, wow. Boulder, Colorado.
Or maybe Aspen.
Wow, we're going cold. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, because it's
stay on brown.
Yes,
we the north.
Yeah. It's been a chilling season. No one's going to Guadalajara.
Okay.
This time around.
You're picking Boulder over Whistler.
Yeah. Because it's close to Utah, right? So sure. you still want to be close.
Probably
enough.
Cheaper, to be honest.
Absolutely. You don't want to do an overhaul of the offense.
No, no.
Right? And our defense has been stomped on at different moments, Bryce. So what certain tweaks can you make? Offensively, you really need to put the ball in Scotty Barnes' hands to attack. Scotty and Pascal, because they it's a mismatch. Every single time, Bryce.
Right.
It's a mismatch all the time. And so that is the entryway to create space as well as opportunity, right? Fred, Gary, and OG don't create that, right? They And so that's probably where you're going to start. And what do you do for the offense? The bench.
The bench is an issue, man.
The bench is an issue. And so do you introduce different iterations of Malachi Flynn? They were playing Malachi Flynn and Fred VanVleet at certain periods of the season, just to give the backcourt some, similar to what they were doing with Kyle and Fred. And I mean, Malachi is just not the same type of player, but just to give a different look. There were moments early in the season when Delano was showing some promise, but I feel like he even hit a wall.
I think we got lucky too, and we played Oklahoma City, Indiana, and Detroit. Mm. Younger teams, Houston.
I still can't get over the fact that we lost two games to the Orlando Magic, Bryce. I just have to get that out of the system.
Oh, back to back game, not back to backs, but like two games in a row, yeah. Mini series in Orlando.
Okay, so back to your question. This is his first year on the second year coaching staff.
Earl Watson.
That's pretty much it, right? Like these are the creators on our team that can give us the ultimate options, and I'd like to see the ball more in Gary Trent Hammonds.
Okay,
he's shown us what he can do with the ball, right? He doesn't attract the best defender,
no,
right? And that's how he's been able to take advantage of it. Doesn't attract the double team either, right? He plays within himself, and I think that's where the advantages are. I also don't think we hunt down mismatches enough. We're not patient enough in our offense. But maybe this is a good time to bring up some of the other elements that have been kind of explaining the struggles. And Fred VanVleet's interview with
J.J.
Redick. And kudos to J.J. Redick. I mean, his questions were so poignant and on the ball. And it gives us a degree of at least fans, whether we're longtime fans and students of the game or even journalists, Bryce. There are elements in the interview that none of us or who I've heard in the podcasting world or read articles of even have a minute understanding of what it is to be a basketball player playing at such a high level. And one of it was, JJ really asked pointedly, hey, your numbers were ridiculous. Your performance last year, ridiculous, right? Your numbers quite consistent in terms of shooting the three and, led you to become an all-star. This year, not the same. Can you give us the reason, right? And I appreciated his answer, Freddie's. And he did mention that there's the ball's less, not as in his hands, as much. So there's an adjustment. Yet, he still maintains a lot of the responsibilities on the team, right? Like Kyle, and maybe does more of it. He's like a defensive anchor, right? Part of that double team. He gets guys in the right role, right position. He's constantly communicating. It's been challenging. And again, all of that said, within the context of an NBA that every other team has improved, except, and even if we have made marginal improvements, it hasn't been enough, right? And so it's draining. And I would think it's even draining mentally for him. I believe him in terms of his explanation. And I wouldn't be surprised if there's things that he has not told us that's going on, that's brewing around the team. As a leader, we're not privy to that, and Matt respects to it. There's no shams leak, right, about Gary Trent not listening to the hierarchy. There's none of that, from my understanding. But do you think that's enough? Do you think that explains things, that makes sense of our current dilemma? First
and foremost, Fred VanVleet talking to JJ Redick, how lucky are we to be able to hear Fred a little more, not completely, nor should he be, but a little more unfiltered? And how good is it to have an interviewer who's not looking for you to answer his question with an agenda that he has? He just wants you to talk because he knows the experience of being an NBA player, and he respects who you are in the context that you're in, right? It's incredible. Let me just say that Fred VanVleet owes us nothing as fans. He owes the media nothing. Let him be him. We're supposed to be fans, which means we cheer for him. We encourage him. We're not out here needing to have Fred, you know, sign off on things that we're doing in this world. Much love and respect to Fred VanVleet. But I think these are the growing pains. I think Fred was, you know, what he was describing was the growing pains of getting a team from, you know, maybe lower ranked playoff team, 5, 6, 7 seed, and trying to catapult yourselves into a higher position, right? That's interesting.
Did we overachieve last year, though?
I think it's possible.
Okay, so
I think it's very possible that we overachieved. Okay. Maybe not so much in how many wins we had, but where we were seated. Right, Chicago Bulls completely dropped off a cliff near the end of the season.
Injuries to Lamar,
Lonzo Ball, and obviously Zach LaVine hasn't recovered either. And Vucevic, you know, took a bit of a step back at the end of last season, but they were more the 5 seed, right?
Yeah.
That's how they played the first 50 games of the season. Brooklyn Nets, right?
Yeah.
Maybe we should have won 48 games, but the Brooklyn Nets should have probably had 50 wins, right? Yeah. 55 wins. So there's two teams away.
They were the 8 seed and they got swept.
Right.
Yeah.
So
I don't feel sorry for them.
I definitely don't feel sorry for them. But They're just those two teams alone were bumped back to the 7 seed, right?
Yeah.
And probably the 7 seed, maybe not 48 wins, maybe 45, 46 wins. That's where we should have been around. So, yeah, we probably did overachieve in both wins by a small margin.
So it inflates
and ranking.
So, and therefore, it all inflates the expectations that we had of ourselves this season.
Now, I had a buddy who asked me, how many games should we win this year?
Based on right now?
No, this was at the start of the season.
Okay.
Start of the season. I said, you know what? It wouldn't surprise me if we won the same amount of games, but I'll say 50. That's a good amount of wins, right? Start of the season. Let's get 50. It's 2 more wins than last year, but I wouldn't be surprised if we won just 48. Where would 48 wins get us this season? All the teams who are above us, all the top 4 are going to be above us, right?
Yeah.
Then you're going to add Cleveland.
Yeah.
And you're going to add
Chicago.
Chicago's
up there. Yeah.
Is above us.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is that, you know, Boston, Brooklyn, Milwaukee, Cleveland, Philly are automatically going to be above us if we get 48 wins, right?
Yeah.
If we win 50, maybe we catch Cleveland, but you're expecting Miami to be a little higher too. So it's going to be about, we're probably going to finish 5th again, right? Like if we win 50 games, we're probably 5th or 6th in the league.
Yeah.
So yeah, last year gave us an inflated expectation. And I think there was a lot of talk, especially from the bigger podcasts in the Toronto Raptors world. You know who those podcasts are.
Yeah.
They were saying, well, we might win 52, 55, right? That's not out of the question. And it's like, well,
we don't have the roster for, I mean,
no, we don't have the depth of our roster. We don't have the experience.
Absolutely.
So I think you're right. And it's easy to have hindsight 2020.
Yeah.
We were ecstatic about this team the first 12, 15, 16 games.
Sure.
You know, now we have more injuries. We have inconsistencies. The league has got better, as you've said.
Sure.
Lady Luck hasn't been on our side. And now we're struggling because Nick's playbook has basically been copycatted and everyone's using our defense from the last 3, 4 seasons.
Yeah.
And here we are now trying to play catch up and reinvent ourselves.
Yeah.
But we also don't have that bench depth. So I think, to be honest, we probably should be tied with Indiana with 23 wins, and we'd be the sixth seed. Like, I think we're that good right now. But, you know, certainly if we had 21 wins and we were tied with the Miami Heat, I think we could probably say, yeah, that makes sense based on this, that, and the other thing.
Yeah, you know, like how many games that we've just lost that just fell through our fingertips, right? Like, again, the Magic, the Orlando Magic games are
so many games, man.
The Atlanta game that we lost at the buzzer.
Sacramento, Fred had a wide open three.
So,
we're not here to cry about things.
No. Where's my Diet Pepsi?
Hey, by the way, I'm drinking Angel's Envy Bourbon out of Louisville, Kentucky. Fantastic stuff.
Are they a sponsor?
I wish. I've been pushing sponsors. Bellwoods was a sponsor for a while. I'm just putting it out there in case companies are listening.
Absolutely. Your partner provided us with a cake before this, and I'm feeling it. It had some 14 years El Dorado.
12 year El Dorado. We get the LCBO. Guyanese. My Jamaican uncles say that is the best rum. El Dorado 15. But anyways,
What type of cake did you get?
It was a rum cake.
Rum cake.
Thank you, Auntie Donna.
Damn, Auntie Donna.
So, all right.
Well, just to bring it back home.
Do you want to finish up the Raptors and then we'll get into a little bit of league musings? Is that where you're feeling?
Yeah, I think I've come to a place of solace. I think the holidays was maddening because of watching certain games, but I had so much more rest,
right,
and emotionally, and the space to kind of process the life questions. So at this point, I was like, okay, we're in terms of the Toronto Raptors, is there something that you're projecting onto the Toronto Raptors that's not happening in your own personal life? Like, you know what I mean? Like temper your expectation.
Yeah.
Right. We've had a great run since 2013.
Yeah.
Unprecedented. Like, no other
team. We've gone up and up and up and up.
No other team franchise in the NBA, except maybe the Golden State Warriors dynasty.
That we ended.
Yeah.
They had to resurrect, but we ended it.
Bye-bye, Oracle. and other teams that haven't won a chip or haven't really made it to the finals, they die for the type of model that Masai, Bobby, and the team and Nick Nurse have developed. And so maybe this is if you thought Tampa Bay was bad, okay, this is not Tampa Bay, but this is a point where, okay, it's not a blowing it up, goodness gracious!
No, we're not blowing it up.
But changing the model, right? Yeah. Tweaking the model, making some reconfigurations with the roster, keeping the core, maybe changing stylistically,
and pushing
to accommodate the current trend where the NBA is going. Right, you need to have a bona fide center. I know Christian Coloco is young. He has great potential.
Yeah, he does have great potential.
He's not there. No,
he's going to be three seasons.
Exactly.
Too.
And have we added enough 3-point shooting on our roster?
We have.
Joe Weisskamp isn't the answer.
No, he's not the answer. Another Iowa boy.
Yeah, another Iowa boy. And how do you feel? You know, this is my last point with the Toronto Raptors. How do you feel with our boy Champagne being cut?
Well, I think I said at the start of the year that I like Doughton better than Champagne.
Okay.
Or Champagne,
yeah.
as you in the Haitian community have said. It sucks.
Yeah.
Is that a tear on your face?
No.
Something in your eye.
It's the rum. It's the rum.
he's a really hardworking, defensive-minded, team-first kind of guy. He's got some good greens.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, he's 3 inches shorter.
Yeah.
And he's not shooting the three-pointer like Yuta is this
year. Oh, my gosh. Where was that,
my gosh.
Last year.
And so, for me, it's too bad, But when I think, when I look at Champagny and then I look over at Gary Payton Jr., who was on the Championship Warriors team, what has he done in Portland? I don't know if he's injured, but he didn't even play in the game yesterday. Yeah. So, yeah, that, I think Champagny, much love to you. I hope you well. Ish Wainwright is
doing quite well,
right? He's in Phoenix, but again, he's a 12th man on the roster.
Maybe 9-10.
Well, that's because there's three injuries on their team. But you know what I mean? Like, it's hard, man. This is a difficult league. So,
what you're saying is he'll find a spot in the NBA.
I think he'll find his way. I hope he goes to Europe. I don't know if you've heard what Pat Beverly said when he went off to Europe. But go and be the best player in Italy. Go and be the best player in Spain or Germany. Like, you went to play Ukraine, your ass off.
Pat Bev went to Ukraine. Right. Speaking of places.
Oh, my gosh. But go do that. Yeah. And then 2 years later, you're 25 years old, come back, and you've got a lot more in your repertoire, you know? Anyways.
PJ Tucker went to Europe, and that changed.
Yeah, there's lots of guys. This isn't the end of your years, Champagny. This is your chance to expand your game. This is not Dwight Howard in Taiwan. This is you expanding your understanding of all the angles of the game. So.
NBA musings. Where do we start?
Do we start
fun topic?
Donovan Mitchell dropping 71.
So essentially, we're talking about MVP.
No, I didn't say MVP.
Okay.
I'm just saying, talk about a fun game.
Yeah.
That's the seventh time in NBA history, the seventh player. Only the 11th time. I think Will Chamberlain did it multiple times.
He had 71 points, 10 assists.
Ridiculous game.
We were in talks. We were one of the teams.
Yeah, Malcolm Brogdon, apparently. We were in talks with him as well, but he didn't come this way.
Thank you, Malcolm.
But Donovan Mitchell scores 71 freaking points. Now, where's the double team? Like, are you just going to let this guy walk in? Thank you, Chicago
this
Bulls.
This was like Sam Mitchell defensive wizardry, right? Let's leave Jalen Rose be guarding Kobe Bryant. Yes, we're talking one of the greatest players to play the game, and this is completely fine. Oh. Thanks, Sam. We still haven't forgiven you for that. And your one love haircut is a terrible look. I'm just gonna, for the record, I hope you're well. I want to affirm humanity, but that one love, please. You're right. I was like, why aren't you double teaming him and having a third player just floating? Right? It was let someone else beat you.
And it was a competitive. It went to overtime.
Yeah, it went to overtime. If it went to second overtime, people thought that he would catch
Kobe.
He would not just catch Kobe. He'd probably catch Will Chamberlain. Bryce, he went to the line. I think, what was his
name? Yeah, part's ridiculous.
So that would have continued.
25 times.
Yeah, 25 plus times. I mean, that would have continued into the second overtime. But that's not the only high scoring.
Yeah, give me some other
ones. Klay Thompson?
Klay Thompson's back.
Every single time I think Klay Thompson is out, like done, just make him come off the bench. He probably has 12, 14 points for you. Right. That guy goes off for 50.
54 points. 54 points. Winning in overtime. He probably had a cold, a cold dip in the Pacific, which he loves. He's talked about it. I've seen him on Instagram doing that.
Klay Thompson, Luka. Goes for 60-20 and a triple 10. And a triple double.
Can we just talk about one thing with that 60-20-10?
Yeah.
People on Twitter, 60-20. I know it's a bad place to go, but people on Twitter were like, we didn't give James Harden this kind of love when he had games like this. We didn't? He was MVP in 2018. Yeah.
It was marvelous. We did give
James Harden so much love, man.
We talked about James Harden redefining the individual offense.
Yes.
He recreated the step back.
He broke the game. Shape.
Yeah.
Like, we don't have the NBA that we do.
No.
Unless it was for James Harden being so damn good in isolation.
Masterfully well calculated, and even baiting the refs. We using the refs playbook against them, right? That's you have to hate it for it, but you hate to see it rather, because sometimes, you know, people say, well, you know, you're flopping, so on and so forth, but it's down to the technicality, right, of the game. No, we've given him his flowers.
I think so.
But the difference is that there's a proliferation of players now. You know, James was doing that 5 years ago. Now there's a proliferation of players doing it. And that adds to what we were speaking of earlier, where, you know, there's 20 plus players scoring 20 plus points per game, Bryce. It's like,
oh, wow.
It's ridiculous. Yeah, it's up there. And so, is you know, I think JJ mentioned this in his podcast, that they're going to look, and we also have the oldest players as well putting up these ridiculous numbers, like LeBron James.
LeBron's going to catch Kareem before the All-Star break.
That's crazy. That's ridiculous, man. When I looked at his numbers several years ago, I'm like,
no,
it's not happening. He's just he's getting too old.
Yeah. Time
is working against him, and it's exhausting to actually be putting these numbers and the position he's playing. He's not a 7 foot fluid 7 footer, you know, working out of the post. And this is not the late 80s anymore. Lo and behold, he's going to pass Kareem.
Absolutely.
So you have that. So you have LeBron James is going to pass Kareem. You have Donovan Mitchell scoring like 71 points, right? And so JJ was saying, we're going to look back at this era and say that this was probably the if not the turning point, but one of the best eras of scoring, of offense.
The wire era, would say.
That's exactly
the golden era is what he said, but I'm going to call it the wire era.
Yeah.
Greatest TV show of all time.
Okay. And so it's quite special. And so for us to appreciate the moment that we're living in, at least in the NBA, that puts us in terms of, if we want to talk about elite scoring and talking about, I want to jump to the NBA MVP race.
All right.
It's fun. I mean, I just see that Kevin Durant is out for a month, give or take, with an MCL strain. Not a tear, but a strain. So what does that mean in terms of his positioning in the MVP race? Is Jokic at a certain point was putting numbers out like he's going to come for number three. That's scary. And he's gotten better, right? And they're sitting at the top of the East, at the West.
The West,
sorry.
Yeah.
Is Luka finally going to get crowned his first MVP? They're currently sitting in fourth.
Yeah, and they've kind of come on. They've 8-2 in the
last
time.
And my formula for the MVP is, not only is it great individual performances, but it's also your team is also in the top, even top four of the league.
Yeah, like Jokic being sixth was...
They made that exception. They also made that exception several years ago with Westbrook, his team being in the middle of the pack. His numbers were ridiculous, averaging a triple double, and for narrative's sake, you know, this was post Kevin Durant era.
Right. This is your ring, Westbrook.
Yeah.
Sorry, Russ, but this is your ring.
But otherwise, anyone else that sticks out? Jason Tatum, I didn't mention him.
I mean, there's obviously going to be a conversation around Ja Morant. His team is up in the West at number two, actually tied with Denver on wins. Yeah, I honestly think, you know, in the last 10, 15 games, I think Kevin Durant was a legitimate top three guy for the MVP race.
Yeah.
But I think if I had to pick one guy right now, because I'm a big fan of wins, I think, you know, win impact and win share is huge for me.
Okay.
I'd take Jason Tatum. I'd put him as my number one. It's not to say that he's the just on his own individually the best player in the league, but I would say he's made the most impact and he's helped his team get to that level. Luka was my, you know, before the season, he was my preseason pick to win it. I put Luka up there. Obviously, Giannis is too. But if I had to pick one guy right now, Jason, based on what he's done and what his team's done, I'd pick Jason.
I'm going to make a slight correction. I said there's about 20 players averaging 20 plus points. No, no, no. There's 44.
40 friggin' Franz Wagner.
I remembered that figure coming up, and I thought it was a
Jordan Clarkson. Can we get Jordan Clarkson on our bench?
Gosh, can we add Terry Rozier at least? Give me Terry Rozier.
Give me one of those,
please.
Guys.
Give me Terry Rozier, man. I'm fine with Terry Rozier, man. You know what? Forget. Give me Kyle Kuzma. Kyle Kuzma is currently averaging 21.4 points per game, man.
Ridiculous.
I'll take him. I'll. What do you need me to do, Washington Wizards? I mean, what do you need me to do? Watch film, crunch the numbers. I'll be on the road scouting high school players, or you know, doing advanced scouting. You know, looking at Utah, Minnesota on a Sunday afternoon. I'll do it.
Who's their G League team?
Oh my gosh! Like they're in Grand Rapids.
You have to do the scouting for the G League team.
Gosh, I do it.
I'm on Ontario Clippers.
I'm jumping on a Greyhound at 2 a.m.
Yeah, they don't have the budget for you to fly with them.
Yeah. I'm gonna take Greyhound to Greyhound to small city to small city. But if that's to get Kyle Kuzma on as our sixth man, I'll do it, man. I'll sacrifice. I'll do my part. I'll do my part.
As long as you don't have to work for the Republican Party, we're fine.
Oh, yeah, yeah. There's just you have to draw the line somewhere, man. I mean, I can't associate myself with
GOP nonsense.
You know, Capitol Hill rioters, man. It's ridiculous.
Okay.
So, Keldon Johnson's the offensive explosion's ridiculous.
It is nuts.
But you're right. I mean, I is it my anti-Boston, intuition coming through? Maybe. But I'll give Jason Tatum. He's playing incredibly well defensively. Is more importantly, he's made that significant leap. And shout outs to Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. He's averaging 30 points per game, Bryce.
Yeah.
I read somewhere that Andrew Wiggins doesn't want to give a 3-year commitment to the national team. We don't want you, bro. It's okay. You're not as good as you think you are either. We're happy that you want to chip. May you and your family prosper for the next few generations. But in terms of what you're expecting from the national team, we have a bunch of other players that can fill that role. No, thank you. Okay. This goodness gracious. But Giannis is also making I don't think they'll award him another MVP, but his name is up there and similar to Joel Embiid. I'm almost rooting for Joel because it seems like he's been punching above his weight in order for him to get that MVP recognition, and it's almost taken away from him. You know, Jokic the last 2 years. His team is just not playing that elite. Now, same thing with Jokic, but the thing with Jokic is that his individual performances are just
remarkable. Yeah, he didn't have Michael Porter Jr. or
Jamal Murray
last year, right? Like Denver, you could easily argue are the best team in the West. Yeah. I mean, obviously the record is number one tied with Memphis, but when you look at the balance of their roster and they're just getting better and better by the game, the depth of the lineup, that's scary. For me, Joel Embiid, his team's got to be a top three for me to have him in the conversation, because numbers only mean so much. Sorry, only have so much meaning if there's wins involved.
Okay, well, right? This year, so...
Like, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is a hell of a talent. He is going to be all NBA. But he's not in the MVP conversation because his team's not going to make the play-in, let alone the playoffs, right? Where Tatum has got other guys, just like Embiid has got James Harden and Tyrese Maxey. But Tatum's team is the best in the league, hands down. And he's having career numbers, right? And he's doing it all over the court with all kinds of attention on him. So for me, that's why he has more impact. Now, people will say Joel Embiid plays great defense. I think Jason Tatum plays great defense. They don't even have the anchor in Robert Williams out there, and they're getting the job done.
He's averaging 8.1 rebounds. He's playing a big role in the front court. Again, without Time Lord. And yeah. He's averaging, 4.1 assists. I think I've always felt that he's gotten away with having another dynamic wing like Jaylen Brown. He takes a lot of the defensive responsibilities. But no, I've been watching film of his and kudos. But Luka Magic is just a wonderful sight to see. I think he's going to continue to dazzle.
And they're on the come up, right?
Now?
Fourth in the West. So if they were able to maintain that fourth in the West, I don't see why Luka can't win it.
Yeah.
I'd give him the edge over Joel Embiid because Joel Embiid has another all-star on his team. Luka Doncic doesn't have another all-star on his team.
No, he doesn't. Does he even have another 20-point score on his team?
I don't think so, man. Spencer Dinwiddie's not that guy.
Christian Wood is not that guy.
No.
Really good, talented group of players that work well together, incredibly well coached. But, interesting.
Well, I don't know what Bobby and Messiah are doing. I don't know where the coaching staff are going for their retreat.
Again, I'm putting my – I can work remotely on that Greyhound.
Kyle Kuzma.
I can work remotely on that Greyhound with my other job while I do another job, Bryce. I can do it, man. I can do it. I don't know how sustainable it is.
Right. For Kyle Kuzma.
But for Kyle Kuzma?
Respect, man. Respect. Speaking of breaks.
Hashtag free Kyle Kuzma.
Yeah, bring him to the north. Speaking of breaks, we better take a break from this podcast. Shams seems like he's been on a break as well. I haven't heard anything from Shams. I don't know what's up with that. But, man, this has been fun, as always.
Yeah, man. Great way to start the year.
Yeah. Remember, Pascal Siakam, Fred VanVleet, and yourself are special.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Toronto Raptor fans out there who are still rooting for their squad despite the darkness that have come upon us, you're special too.
The clouds will be lifted.
This is the growing pains. That's even what, as a fan,
it's the growing pains.
Again, we don't have to go back to our archives to pull out to pull out the worst moments of this franchise. This is not one of them. You know, losing back to back against the Orlando Magic is tough to swallow. This is not one of them. Trust me.
All right, y'all. Hope you're well. Enjoy the week. We'll catch up to you soon. Peace. I think I don't do dreaming, boy. I'm on your fucking